Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And if you are joining us this morning, I'd like to ask you to take out your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The passage we're looking at this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll be reading together verses 1 through 11. Here's what the scriptures tell us. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. This morning, as I was reading this passage of Scripture, I couldn't think of a more appropriate and maybe more impactful, considering the circumstances we find ourselves in, passage of Scripture than 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And so let's get into this passage by beginning with a summary statement. Then I think that as we look at the details of this passage, we'll find them to be very interesting, very informative, and I hope encouraging as well. So here's a summary of 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to be comforted, knowing that they would be protected by God from the awful events that would occur during the day of the Lord. Now, when we talk about the day of the Lord, when we study the Old Testament and then we get into the New Testament, we'll see that God talks about a period of time, a season, that's called the day of the Lord. And during the day of the Lord, God is going to be working to basically bring about ultimately his kingdom on earth. And so there's going to be a seven-year tribulation, a time where there are going to be terrible events that will take place. And at the end of those 7 years, the Lord Jesus Christ will return at his second coming. And when he comes at his second coming, he's coming to establish his kingdom. And God's people will be able to enjoy that wonderful kingdom. And so the events that will unfold prior to the second coming of Christ, they're talked about all throughout the Old Testament, and really Christ talks about them quite a bit during his earthly ministry, talks about it during the Olivet Discourse. And so one of the things that happens is that when terrible events take place, especially when Christians face intense persecution, when a land goes through a plague, when there's financial hardship, not just on a personal level or on a national level, but on a worldwide level, people began to panic. People become very, very afraid. And the truth is that this passage at a time like this is exactly what we need to hear. So let's look at the details of this passage that are really meant to be words of encouragement to God's people during times of uncertainty. The first observation is this: the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. When we talk about the day of the Lord, that means the tribulation and the second coming of Christ, when God is coming to establish his earthly kingdom. Those events are going to take place quickly, and they're going to come very unexpectedly. The world will not be ready for those events. You know, we look at what's going on in the world today. Just about 2 months ago, in the middle of February, worldwide economies were stronger than they've ever been. We were living in just not just national prosperity, but from the standpoint of the entire world, we had prosperity unlike any other season, probably in human history. And within two months later, we have people who are terrified, people who are in panic, worldwide markets that are not moving, people who are locked into their homes, people who have no idea when we're going to be able to assemble normally, and all those kinds of things. Well, the reality is that there will be a day when what we've experienced here, where the entire world, for all practical purposes, has stopped, and we expect to go back to normal eventually, there'll be a day when the world doesn't go back to normal. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's happening here. I have no idea. I'm not making that prediction. But what I'm telling you is what we've experienced here today is just a little bit of a taste of what's going to take place in that day. But when the world goes into this period known as the day of the Lord, they won't be coming out. It's going to end with the second coming of Christ. And so notice the way that he talks about this in verses 1 and 2. He says, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3 says, they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced what it's like to have someone break into your home in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. I know what that's like. I've had that happen. I remember waking in the middle of the night and realizing something's not right, and going through my house and realizing someone broke into my home while I slept in my bed, stole very important items, and they could have even killed our family in the night. I know what that's like. It's a terrifying thing. It's a sudden, unexpected thing. And that's how the day of the Lord will begin. People are going to be comfortable. They're going to be enjoying life. Things are going to be going smoothly. People will be working and making money and going about their normal business, and they feel safe. And all of a sudden, this season of life, this period sets in, and things are going to change drastically, and the world will not be ready for it. A second observation is that during that time, there's going to be a distinction between God's people and the world. Notice the way that Paul puts it in verses 3 to 5. He says, they shall say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. Now notice he has used the term they and them because he's emphasizing that Paul's not a part of this group, and that the church is not a part of this group. This is another group of people who are going to go through this terrible time. They're going to experience the hardships. He's saying they will not be ready for this day. But, he puts it this way, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. The reason that Paul emphasizes the distinction between those who are not ready and those who are is because not everybody is going to experience the terrible hardships of the day of the Lord. God is going to protect his people when that day comes. In fact, it's interesting, we look at examples of God's judgment throughout human history. There are times that God judged a nation, but he preserved his people in the midst of that judgment. Look at an example of the plagues that were given to the land of Egypt. In those early plagues, it's true that the Jewish people did experience on some level what was going on, the hardships. But there came a point where God said, now I'm focusing my attention entirely on the Egyptians who will not let God's people go. And I'm going to protect my people. The reality is God set this distinction between his people and those who are not. We think about the Passover and how when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, he passed over certain households that had killed the Passover lamb and had the blood on the doorposts. And so there was a distinction between God's people and those who are not. The fact is that the scripture teaches that in the day of the Lord, there'll be a distinction between God's people who will not face the terrible judgment and wrath of that day, and those people who are not prepared, who have not placed their faith in Christ and are not ready for that day. The third observation is that God's people will not face the terrible wrath that will occur during the day of the Lord. In verse 3, he says, ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you're not going to experience that sudden terror that those other people will face. Verses 5 to 6, we are not of the night. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. Let's be prepared knowing that the day will come, but we will not experience it. And then in verse 9, he puts it this way. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting. Someone might say, well, how is it that God's people are not going to face the wrath of the day of the Lord? Well, if you want the answer to that, we have to look back a couple of verses at what we talked about at the end of chapter 4. At the end of chapter 4, Paul writes about what we call the rapture. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." He talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he talks about the fact that we shouldn't be ignorant, because those who have died in Christ, God will bring with him. Those passages are talking about the fact that there'll be a point in time when God is going to take his people and he's going to bring them out of this world so that they won't have to face the terrible judgments of the day of the Lord. And so that's what this passage is meant to do. It's meant to encourage these Christians, though the day's coming, you will be insulated from those terrible judgments that will come on the world during that time. It's meant to encourage God's people. We then see a fourth observation. We must live every day faithfully anticipating the day of the Lord and what it means. In verse 8, he says, "Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." Now, what's interesting is when Paul talks about the breastplate of faith and love, and he talks about the helmet of salvation, he's referring to a concept that he talked about in the book of Ephesians. We know a lot about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. We know about the Christian's armor in Ephesians chapter 6. Well, what he talks about in Ephesians 6 is really what he's alluding to here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to notice the details. He says we need to be sober. The word has the idea of be calm, be collected, be dispassionate. You know, as we live in this world and we go through seasons like what we're going through right now, a lot of people are panicked. They're terrified. I mean, you go to the grocery store and there's a lot of stuff that you want to buy, you can't buy. If you want to go to Walmart, you have to stand in a line so that they allow you in. If you're standing in the line at the grocery store, they have little feet marks where you can stand because you need space between you and the other person. There are a lot of people that have lost their jobs. There are a lot of businesses that have folded or may potentially fold. The entire world economic system right now is going through turmoil like it hasn't in generations. And the reality is that God's people, in spite of all those things, need to be sober. We need to be calm. We need to be collected, dispassionate. What I mean by dispassionate is we are not passionate in terror. We are not afraid. We're calm. Why is that? Because we recognize that God's in control. We recognize that ultimately, when the day of the Lord comes, he's going to take us to be with him. And all the terrible things that will go on this world will just be the beginning of when he comes to return and establish his kingdom. And when he does that, that will be a wonderful time. And so we're able to navigate these circumstances with soberness. He says, put on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, in Ephesians, he talks about being the breastplate of righteousness. And the idea is practical righteousness, living out our faith. And he puts it like this, faith and love. In other words, by trusting God, we're able to love one another the way that we should. Live out the Christian faith effectively. And three, he says, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. In Ephesians 6, he says, put on the helmet of salvation. And here he's defining what that helmet is. It's the hope. It's the anticipation of the return of Christ. It's the anticipation of eternal glory. In other words, our minds in times like this are to be guided by this anticipation of our final salvation, when we will not just be complete in Christ because our sins are forgiven and we have a home in heaven and we're anticipating that day, but we're actually tasting it, we're actually experiencing it, we're actually standing in God's presence forever. Observation number 5, don't forsake the local church and the purpose God has for it in your Christian growth. He puts it this way in verse 11. He says, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Notice this is a collective encouragement. In other words, you're supposed to be comforted not just alone and in solitude, but with other people. You're not just supposed to be edified through reading the Bible by yourself, but you're supposed to be edifying other people and being edified by other people. In other words, it's a reference to the local church. It's a reference to the importance of us being amongst God's people in times of difficulty where we are comforted together and we are mutually edified. This is exactly what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:23. He says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." When we read this passage and then we go to Hebrews chapter 10, we see that they perfectly fit together. They're communicating the exact same thing. As we anticipate the Lord's return, we need to make sure we don't neglect the local church where we are comforted, where we are strengthened, where we provoke one another to love and good works, where we're built up in the faith. So I want to be really practical this morning. What are some things that, based on what we just read, what we've just reflected on, we can put into practical everyday living? The first is this. Every time we experience sudden change, like the sudden change we're experiencing in our world today, it should be a healthy reminder that one day things won't go back to normal. God's people will be brought up to be with him forever, and this world's going to enter into the day of the Lord. Now, I am not predicting that. I'm not saying I hope that that happens. I'm simply saying there will be a day that what we've just gone through, where the world is now in chaos and people are saying, "When do we get back to normal?" They won't get back to normal. In other words, we will be witnessing on earth what is talked about in the book of Revelation. There'll be a day when Christ's day of the Lord begins. And during that time period, the world will be looking for answers in all the wrong places. But there'll be one place to find it, and that's in the Lord Jesus. The second is this. God's people will be preserved from the wrath of those horrible events that will take place in that day, and this should comfort us. You know, there might be some people going, "Well, how do I know I'm not entering into the day of the Lord right now?" Well, let me tell you, that's how these Christians felt, and that's why Paul wrote them this book. He wanted them to understand they weren't in the day of the Lord, but the day was going to come. And the way that they felt at that moment was not something that they needed to feel. They needed to feel encouraged and comforted and strengthened because God was going to preserve them from those horrible events that would take place in that day. And the last thing is this. If there ever was a time for us to be reminded of the importance of the local church, it's now. We need to be mutually encouraged. We need to be edified. We need to be built up. We need to encourage one another in the Lord so that we're provoked unto love and good works. We need people in our lives who help stabilize how we think about things because they have a godly perspective. And so if there's ever a time that we needed to stay connected to God's people, now is the time. I know we can't meet together in person, and that's unfortunate. That's very difficult. But the truth is, because of things like social media and the internet, churches live streaming their services, the ability to connect through social media, conference calls, phone calls, we still can stay connected to one another. We can still build up one another and encourage one another in the Lord. I know it's not the same as standing next to somebody in the local church and singing praise to God and bowing our heads together and praying and sitting under the ministry of the Word and encouraging one another after the service. I understand it's not the same. And this can't forever replace what we do in the local church. But I can tell you this. We can do a lot today that we can stay connected, praying for one another, encouraging one another. And I hope that these words today from 1 Thessalonians 5 will encourage you to do just that. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. And I hope that this encouragement from the scriptures will be a blessing to you today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study the word. I know these are unsettling days for many people. A lot of people are afraid. A lot of people don't know what the future holds. And I pray that this passage would minister to their souls, that it would bring comfort, encouragement, and strength. Father, help us to stay connected to your people where we can be encouraged in the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see you this morning. I hope that these words were a blessing to you, and I look forward to chatting with you next time as we continue our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians.